Next, please listen intently to the following six-part symposium that has the theme, Imitate Jehovah by Imitating Jesus. Each speaker will introduce the next. Brother Rupik from the Parkdale Congregation in Edmonton will begin with the talk, Take These Things Away From Here.
Like Father, like Son. That saying is said at times about a son who reminds us of his father. That son may speak like his father, he thinks like his father, he acts like his father. We say, that boy's just like his dad. At Ephesians 5, verse 1, we are encouraged to become imitators of our Father, Jehovah, as it says, beloved children. So we're children of our Father, Jehovah. So we strive to imitate our Father in that sense. Now, the best way that we could imitate Jehovah is by imitating Jesus. When we think of that saying again, like Father, like Son, no one else does that apply to more so than Jesus and his Father, Jehovah. Jesus perfectly imitated his Father, didn't he? So much so that know what Jesus himself said at John 14, verse 9. And I invite you to read that along with me as we look at John 14, verse 9. There it says, Jesus said to him, Even after I have been with you men for such a long time, Philip, have you not come to know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father also. How is it that you say, show us the Father? Yes, Jesus could say that, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, because he and his Father enjoyed the closest friendship ever forged. No one was more attuned or is more attuned to God's feelings than Jesus. Therefore, once again, when we imitate Jesus, we imitate our Father Jehovah. Now, during this symposium, Imitate Jehovah by Imitating Jesus, we're going to consider six qualities that are shared by God in Christ. Now, in each case, we're going to consider three questions. Firstly, how does Jehovah display this quality? Secondly, obviously, how does Jesus display this quality? And thirdly, how can we display this quality? We're going to begin our discussion by looking at the quality of zeal for pure worship. So, question one, how is Jehovah zealous for pure worship? Well, when we think of those terms zeal or being zealous, oftentimes we think of someone who's enthusiastic. They show enthusiasm. But in the Bible, that also can apply to someone who has steadfast refusal to tolerate rivalry. So then, someone who is zealous for pure worship has a strong urge to protect God's name and cannot stand anything that would bring reproach upon Jehovah. So how does Jehovah display this? Well, let's read about Jehovah's zeal at Zechariah 8, verses 1 through 3. So that's Zechariah 8, verses 1 through 3. And it's in connection with God's promise to restore pure worship in Zion or Jerusalem. Let's read that together. Zechariah 8, verses 1 through 3, it says, The word of Jehovah of armies again came saying, This is what Jehovah of armies says, I will be zealous for Zion with a great zeal, and with great wrath I will be zealous for her. This is what Jehovah says, I will return to Zion and reside in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of Jehovah, of armies, the holy mountain. So take a look again at verse 3. What was God going to promise with regards to Mount Zion or Jerusalem? Well, there it says that it would be called the city of truth. So it would promote true worship. And as well in that verse, verse 3, it says, the mountain of Jehovah of armies was going to be called the holy mountain. Yes, it would be the place or site of pure, holy worship. And Jehovah brought about these changes, renewed the holiness to his favored temple. Why? Because again, as verse 2 says, he says there, I will be zealous for Zion with great zeal. Yes, Jehovah was zealous for pure worship. Let's go to question 2. How is Jesus zealous for pure worship? Well, let's fast forward 500 years after Jehovah has restored pure worship in Jerusalem at the temple. Imagine how Jesus felt when he saw what was happening in the temple. We can read about his disgust at John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. John chapter 2, 13 through 17. It says, now the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those selling cattle and sheep and doves, and the money brokers in their seats. So after making a whip of ropes, he drove all those with the sheep and cattle out of the temple, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the temples. And he said to those selling the doves, take these things away from here. Stop making the house of my Father a house of commerce. His disciples recalled that it is written, the zeal for your house will consume me. So the temple was holy. It was designed to focus in on pure worship. But now I invite you to look at the monitors and take a look at the scene we're about to see. So it was true that the Israelites came from far lands. And so what we saw taking place there was people selling animals. Well, the Jews needed to have these animals to sacrifice to Jehovah. But those that were selling them were taking advantage of the travelers by selling these animals at inflated prices. It's true, too, that foreigners needed to exchange their foreign coins for coins that they could use to pay the temple tax. But again, the money changers were charging exorbitant fees. And did you notice where those things were taking place? They were taking place right inside the temple courtyard. That is why zeal for God's house consumed Jesus. He said, my Father's house is not a place for commerce. And he drove them out. Let's move to question number 3. How can we be zealous for pure worship? Well, just as Jehovah acted to restore the holiness of his temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus tried to do the same, we imitate them when we avoid anything that could bring reproach on pure worship. For example, at Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1, it says, watch your step whenever you go to the house of the true God. Remember the artwork we just saw? Jesus wouldn't tolerate any commercial transactions at the temple. He, recall what he exclaimed, take these things away from here. So then, would it be respectful for us to use the Kingdom Hall as a sort of depot for dropping off commercial products or as a money-making distribution center? You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus He wouldn't even let anyone carry a utensil through the temple. So Jesus wouldn't allow others to use the temple courtyard as a shortcut. Would it be any different for us to reason, well, I'm going to see Brother Jones at the meeting this evening. Maybe we can finish the transaction there at the meeting. Maybe after the meeting in the parking lot. Or I'll give him the money for what I bought from him there at the Kingdom Hall. I'll see him there anyways. No, we wouldn't want to use our places of pure worship as a shortcut for commercial activity. And if we did, would we truly be imitating Jesus? Another lesson we can learn too is this. While the conduct of some was God-dishonoring, there's no doubt about it, Jesus continued to worship at the temple despite their poor conduct. He never reasoned, well, if that's what's happening at my Father's temple, I'm not going there anymore. No, he zealously continued to go to the temple. So what do we learn from that? Well, we zealously today want to continue to go to our meetings and associate with our brothers and sisters despite the imperfections of others or the hurt feelings we might get at times. Rather, zealously promote pure worship by, again, faithfully being at our meetings and continuing to associate with the Christian congregation. So like Jehovah and Jesus, we too maintain our zeal for pure worship, which is not dependent on the actions of others. And when we do, imagine the joy in heaven when Jehovah and his Son look down upon us, acting as beloved children, imitating their zeal for pure worship. Might they be moved to say, like Father, like Son?